The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Being Found Show. My name is Chauncey Hallworth and I'm filling in for Cloudwise Joe.
And my name is Jake and I'm filling in for Chauncey.
Right, right. And Cloudwise Joe is our, let's see, he is our designated despot of our digital dialogue. I don't know, is despot too ruthless to use for Joe? you know, this is my second show for filling in for Joe, and normally I'm Joe's sidekick, and at every show he goes like, oh man, we got so much to get to today, there's no way we're going to be able to get through all this. And normally I'm like the Ed McMahon, you know, I sit there and go, oh that's crazy. You know, today I feel that I've gotten to the point where I think we have more than we'll probably get through. You know, I was thinking about you on the way here, Jake, because yesterday we were working and I saw your little kiddo was waving to me on the Skype.
Yep.
And you are without a doubt much more stable than I was as a new parent. But you know, here's my new parent advice that I'll give to you, and this goes out to business owners and anybody in the world who really wants to do anything, and that is like. If you teach your kids and yourself how to learn and to like to learn, everything else will kind of take care of itself. You know, a lot of people are constantly like, oh, learning's dumb and I don't want to deal with learning. But really, if you sort of enjoy learning and you enjoy a little challenge here and there and, you know, you have a positive attitude about it. So if you can instill that in your kids, you know, everything else kind of takes care of itself. You know, my kids now, they got their, you know, their typical stuff that kids might have nowadays, you know, maybe not quite the motivation of getting a job that one would like to see, but they like to learn.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. And I'll take all the parenting advice I can get right now. I have the bags under my eyes. I don't know if you can, know on the radio can, but thank you.
When it comes to most of my parenting at the age that your kids are, I was probably not a prime parent, you know. I was definitely coming out of some serious irresponsibility. But the learning actually made me think about, I know this is a little off topic, but for you international listeners, we're coming out of Redding, California, and we're on KCNR AM 1460 here in Redding, and right now at our local museum, Turtle Bay, there's the dinosaur exhibit, and I was thinking about learning on the way here, and that's what got me thinking about it, is that I really want to go see the dinosaur exhibit.
Oh, you know, yeah.
I'm always happy to learn more about that.
Awesome.
So our first topic here is, and I don't think we're going to get through it in the first segment, but our first topic here is really service industry SEO and marketing, and this really kind of covers a lot of you out there. You know, America really went from manufacturing industry to service industry. We are definitely a service-based economy now, and with the changes in the internet, you know, people are much more apt to get online, pick up the phone, and expect you to come to them.
Yep.
And if you don't know if you're a service industry job, I'm not really talking restaurants, although, I mean, you know, there's a delivery there. But I'm talking like people who come to your house and do services for you. You know, carpet cleaners, home renovation, pool cleaning, basically all the things that would come to your house and a guy shows up at your door.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, I was planning on getting into a lot of different angles of this, but really what I think it really comes down to is customer service and customer retention, because for one, I bounce a lot of this off my wife. And for one, nobody wants somebody showing up to their house that they think is shady.
Yeah.
And so basically, if you're in some sort of service industry, the first thing you need to do is look down. The second thing you need to do is look in the mirror. You know, I don't care what your face looks like, but, you know, you need to be clean. You need to be clean cut. And you need to look like you got your stuff so you don't need to take their stuff. Don't you think?
That's like, yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, the background check industry for a while here tried to really sort of set something up where they were running background checks and you were able to verify your people. But that's really had a hard time making it stand on the individual level. Like if you're going through Angie's List or something like that, they might have their own backup background check or verification process. And so going through a site like that, you might be able to trust that. But let's say you come to somebody's website and they have some embedded background check thing from something that you've never heard of. I mean, it's like, you know, the initial sales tick will go, oh, well, good, they have a background check. But really, you can't put a huge amount of confidence into these companies that you haven't heard of.
Yeah, and I think that also speaks to the fact that if you are a service industry who goes to people's house, you should be an Angie's List. You should be, you know, managing your reputation there because that's a factor.
Well, yeah, this brings us back to our conversation from last week about vertical marketing. You know, it's like you need to, if you're in the service industry and you're not exploiting those service websites that really, you know, if you don't know what those Angie's List is basically a giant lead generation website, and that's what it is. So if you're in a service industry, you pay them some money, you get yourself verified, you're on the site, you pay monthly, and then you get leads. And you start to price out, well, is that lead really worth it, you know?
Yep.
But, you know, the bottom line for service industries, and I would say service in general, you know, this is something that I personally should probably be better at. My problem is I'm a one-man show, and so it's hard to flip-flop between marketing, answering the phones, and doing the work. You know, it's really difficult to pull your mindset from one and put it into the other. So for those of you out there, here's something that I need to start executing for myself in this situation, and that is when I'm not answering the phone, I need to make it perfectly clear. So you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to answer every call. You don't have to do everything. But you do need to be perfectly clear to your clientele. Like, you know, change your message to, hey, I'm working right now, working hard for my customers, and I can't get to the phone. Leave me a message, and I will get back to you between these 2 hours or at this time or something like that. And if you have a hard time setting that up, you know, where you can convey that to people, or maybe it changes throughout the week. You know, a good way to do that is Google Voice. You can have stored messages, and you can activate them or deactivate them depending on where you are. So it's like you can be all, well, on Tuesday, you know, I'm not going to be able to call back until after 5, so I can activate that answering service. So for those of you out there, get a Google Voice, real easy. Also, it will send you a text message of your voice message. Huh. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. When we come back, we're going to talk about customer retention statistics. And, you know, I know statistics, it's very exciting. Very exciting. But it's really going to blow your mind on how important it is to keep your service industry customers coming back.
Summer, summer, it's like a merry-go-round. Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in the wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Out here in the field, I fought for my meal. I get my back into my living. I don't need to fight.
All right, I'm Chauncey, he's Jake, and you're listening to The Being Found Show here on KCNR, and we're talking about customer retention statistics for the service industry. Very exciting, but if you're a business owner, you know, these are really going to kind of open your mind. You know, the world has everybody believing that, like, growth and big money and, like, you know, if you look at the internet and you look at business stuff, it's all entrepreneurs. Oh, we're all growing this stuff, and we're coming up with something new, and we're changing the world, and it's something new and exciting, and that is totally fine, and the world definitely needs that. But most of us are out here running businesses, providing services that people need on a local level. Like, I'm a web marketing and SEO guy, right? Well, there are millions of me across the country because there are tens and hundreds of millions of people across the world who need these services, and these need to happen. We don't all need to innovate. We all need to follow through with providing our customers with great service.
Yep.
And so some of these are going to be a little bit mind-blowing. You know, first up here, the probability of selling an existing customer is 60 to 70%. The probability of selling to a new prospect is 5 to 20%. So if you're doing all right with your customer service business, you probably already have some idea of that. You know, the fact that retaining your clientele is highly, highly important. And that's what a lot of this is going to cover. 80% of your future profits will come from just 20% of your existing customers. So, like...
That's huge.
That is huge.
Yeah.
You know, and you're, you know, you might be out there thinking, like, how does that affect me? Okay, great, I know this statistic. How does that affect me? Well, what you need to maybe do is assess your clientele. And when new clientele come in, try to assess who fits that 20%, you know, so that you can chase that 20%. You know, what you want to do is you want to grow that 20% so that you have a much higher probability of selling to existing customers. So if you have a good quality 20% and 60 to 70% of your new sales come from them, you know you have a stable business. 65% of a company's business comes from existing customers. And so all of that right there really just sort of explains to you that your focus needs to be split between new customers and taking care of your old customers. Like, I deal with a lot of businesses that once they have me, they don't seem to care. You know, this is with a couple companies that I've worked with, they have sales reps, you know, I do something called white labeling some of the time, which is like I work as a representative for other companies, even though I'm my own company. And they'll have sales reps, and those sales reps will go out and they will get new clients. And then these new clients will be passed off to the machine that builds them their site and does their SEO and, you know, the staff that writes the content, you know, everything that one would expect. But then those sales reps kind of aren't there anymore, you know, and this person is sort of left to this email phone call machine to try to get answers and stuff like that. So my suggestion is if you have sales reps out there, change them. Ditch your sales reps. Go ahead and hire the same people. I'm not saying to fire them. But start calling them customer advocates or something like that. Basically, it is their job to be the voice of the customer that they're representing to the business. So that when this person needs something, they call their rep. They always have a face. They always have somebody to talk to and somebody who's then willing to turn to the business and the machine and fight to get done what this person wants to get done.
Yeah. Yeah, and our company, Cloud Potential, works very differently than that, I'd say, in that not only do I manage a lot of the projects, but the customers call me directly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying everyone should do it that way, but it works well because I have my finger on the heartbeat of all the customers
right.
most of the time. So things seldom get lost
right.
in terms of, you know, how the client is feeling.
Right, which yeah. is a big deal. You
yeah.
know, how the client is feeling is a big deal, especially if your company is in any way recurring in a close situation. So in the case of like home mm-hmm. renovation, the reason why you want happy customers is word of mouth.
Yep.
Word of mouth is a big deal when it comes to those big ticket items. In the case of, let's say, carpet cleaning, maybe they're coming back every 6 months. That's important. But in the case of, like Jake and my businesses, it's really about recurring payment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a client that's coming to you, paying you money on the regular, you really need to take their feelings into consideration. You know, another big part, I'm not sure this is a small demographic of service industries out there, but we're B2B. B2C stands for business to consumer. That's most of you. And then B2B is business to business, you know, and it can get stressful, you know, because here I am. I'm a business taking care of my family, raising money to take care of my family, doing a job and getting paid. And my clients are also people who are working hard, raising money to take care of their families and so on and so forth. So in the case of B2C, it tends to be a little bit more the customer wants something, they buy it, and they're aware that they made the purchase, and then they move on. But in the case of B2B, there's a lot of emotional investment in the survival of both sides mm-hmm. of that transaction, you know.
Yeah.
So 78% of consumers have bailed out on a transaction or not made an intended purchase because of a poor service experience. That is absolutely the case. Target. Man, Target. For Mother's Day, I tried to get my wife some Mom Bombs. You know what a Mom Bomb is?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
All right, you know what a Bath Bomb is?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So they're made by these tweenpreneurs. They're entrepreneurs that are teenagers or whatever. But they had one called a Mom Bomb, and Terry wanted some Mom Bombs. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm just, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to get down there in time. So I go on Target.com, and I order some Mom Bombs.
Yeah.
You know, and they're to be picked up in the store. And I'm all, okay. Well, I'm not going to be able to get down there, so I'd like my daughter to go pick them up, right? And so I call down to the store, and I said, hey, I made a purchase online to be picked up. And they're all, what? And I'm all, I made a purchase online to be picked up in the store. And they're all, oh, okay, let me transfer you to that department. And I'm all, all right. And I wait. Mm-hmm. And then they're all, hello? And I'm all, yeah, I made a purchase to be picked up in the store. And they're all, oh, they didn't pick up over there? And it's the same person. And so they send me back over there again. And so now I'm talking to the people, and I'm just all, yeah, so I made this purchase online, but I'd like my daughter to pick it up. And they're just all, oh, well, you'll have to log into your Target account and find that purchase and put her name down as somebody who can come and pick it up. And I'm all right. So I do that. I log in there. And then my daughter Jasmine goes down to pick it up, and she says, yeah, I'm here to pick up a thing for mm-hmm. Chauncey. And they're all, well, do you have his ID? And she's all, no, like, why would I have his ID, you know? And they're just all, well, you can't pick it up without his ID. Oh, and then she can't pick it up. And, like, when don't they have the notes in front of them?
Yeah.
You know, it's like going to the doctor's office. Okay, everybody out there can identify with this. When you go to the doctor's office, have you noticed that they take a lot of notes, yet every time you go there the next time, it's like nobody read the notes, and they have no idea who you are or anything like that. They're all, whoa, maybe we should prescribe you the same medication we prescribed you for the last, you know, and you're just all, no, read the notes, you know. And so this is a prime example of just terrible, terrible customer service, you know. But these big corporations, they swallow this stuff, you know.
Yeah, and I think a word to the wise business is every interaction is an opportunity to be smooth or be cause friction.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that example at Target was just friction. And everyone has their breaking point. Everyone has that point where they kind of throw their hands up and say, enough.
Right. And there were a lot of places. And I was desperate for this thing. So I really stuck through a lot more than I normally would.
Yeah.
You know, because we're dealing with Mother's Day. If this had been any other purchase, I would have dropped out long ago.
Yeah.
You know. And so this really brings us to our next one here. A typical business hears from 4% of its dissatisfied customers. So for every customer who bothers to complain, 26 other customers remain silent.
That is staggering.
Yeah.
To me personally, like, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what am I not hearing about?
Oh yeah.
And how do I solve what I'm not hearing about right now?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, one good way is to straight up ask. You know, you know, once every 3 months, maybe send out a customer service survey to all of your clientele, asking how are we doing, and giving them an opportunity to mm-hmm. to explain to you how they're feeling and what they're getting out of this situation. All right, you're listening to the Being Found Show. We got to pay the bills. Commercial break coming up here, so come on back.
Thank you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Imagine living in a planned community that features a regional park for you and your family to enjoy, plus walking trails, fabulous open spaces, and so much more. You can find all of this, plus the designer home you've always dreamed of at Chastina Ranch. Built by Palomar Builders, your ultimate home. Chastina Ranch is located just off Airport Road on Shasta View. Homes in Chastina Ranch feature green technology, water-conserving toilets, faucets, and showerheads, energy-efficient LED lighting, and programmable irrigation systems. Distinctive exterior features including 30-year composite roofing in a variety of colors, designer entry doors, and of course with Palomar Builders, exceptional interiors. Plans including 9-foot and 10-foot ceilings throughout. Beautiful designer kitchens with granite slab countertops and full tile backsplash. To see Shastina Ranch, just take Airport Road to Shasta View. For more information, contact Rhonda Culp of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 949-8613. Palomar Builders, your ultimate home.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors, did you know that you can take classes at Shasta College this summer without paying any tuition? Get a jump start in your college education, tackle that tough class, or get ready for transfer, all for just a registration fee of about $40. Save time and money. That's how Shasta College gives you more. Shasta College has more classes so you can graduate faster, more programs so you can choose your perfect career, more flexibility to work around your busy life, and more ways to graduate and transfer. Summer enrollment is happening now, and high school students and newly graduated seniors can attend Shasta College free during the summer. Just pay the $40 enrollment fee. We made it easier than ever to register. Go to shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650. High-paying jobs are waiting for trained workers today, and Shasta College is here to help you advance your future. Choose more. Choose Shasta College. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. You know, we were discussing something really kind of funny during the break here, and it sort of fits into tech and how a lot of people maybe feel with the changing of this world in tech here. Is Jake is talking about how he's been watching, marathoning his way through the X-Files.
That's right.
And then you said something about how it was fun because you got to see the evolution of people using old computers and cell phones, like, up until, you know, through the 90s and
stuff.
Yeah, so like
what was it, like 91, 92 when it started?
Yeah.
And I'm in the 97 now.
Right.
And, you know, season one, cell phones and computers were almost not existent.
Right. Yeah.
And I got to watch, you know, the Macintosh green screen.
Right.
And now there's color screens, and they're right. using more advanced
right.
stuff.
Right. In the beginning, when Scully's doing her typing, it's kind of like a... It's kind of like the end of Doogie Howser, where he's typing in the thing. You know, and he's got the like little screen, and you're just like, "What is that huge like blinking black cursor? What is up with that?"
Yeah, it's just fun to relive that.
Totally.
That event.
There's got to be a funny post or GIF in there of showing Skulder and Mully with their cell phones slowly shrinking inside.
Yeah, and their glasses becoming more fashionable. I should add.
All right, so before we went to break, we were talking about customer retention statistics. This should be important for all of you. And we said that a typical business hears from 4% of its dissatisfied customers, and for every customer who bothers to complain, 26 other customers kept their mouths shut, which was really mind-blowing. But I think I have a positive statistic to throw in here. Actually, it's not a statistic. It's an opinion, but I think it's true. Happy people don't talk about how happy they are, especially in this day and age. It seems like the miserable people are the mouthy ones. You know, your friend will come to you and say like, "Oh, me and the missus, we've been fighting," you know, or something like that. But mm-hmm. they never come to you and say like, "Oh man, we had a beautiful moment last night, and like we held each other till 4 a.m. It was beautiful. We connected like we haven't in years." You know, nobody's coming to you saying these things.
Yeah.
You know, so I do another show here on KCNR called Radio Wasteland, and I had somebody call in and basically tell me how much the show sucked. You know, and like and like people are just all like, you know, "Oh, that's terrible. Isn't that terrible?" And I'm all, you know, probably not really, because this one person who voiced their opinion about how much it sucked, maybe there's also 26 other people out there who also think it sucked. But I bet you it also represents that there are 100 people out there listening who maybe like it and aren't voicing that
mm-hmm.
at all,
mm-hmm.
you know, because people just don't go out of their way, especially in the case of customer service, you know, because if I go to somebody and I say, "Hey, I want to pay you to be polite, to be clean, and to come in and to fix my porch." If I pay you to do that and you come and do that, you're not going above and beyond for me. You know, I don't need to run down there and like start kissing your butt saying how like great you are
mm-hmm.
because you fulfilled what I asked you
right.
to do. And so, you know, remember that for every 4% and the 26 other people who are remaining silent that are miserable, there are probably a lot of other people out there that are really happy for you. And I think we covered it a little bit before the break, you know, send out that customer service mm-hmm. survey, because you'll get a lot of happy people as well, you know, and you'll get a lot of good stuff to share. On the average, loyal customers are worth up to 10 times as much as their first purchase. So make those customers happy and make them loyal
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I feel like business owners, well, for me, my wife is my portal to the outside world. You know, I'm so caught up in marketing and what I do that sometimes it's hard for me to see the forest for the trees, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, my wife will tell me, like, because she is a 100% consumer. She doesn't do any work on the internet. The only work she does is paying bills on the internet, which I appreciate, honey. But so she's definitely my thermometer to what's going on out there, you know, and people are very fickle now. It's like if you screw them over as a business, they not only will let you go, they'll let you go quickly and move mm-hmm. on to your competitor. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, Google sent out, it was like a Think with Google email, mm-hmm. and they had a pretty awesome statistic. It said that, you know, B2B customers have the exact same expectations as B2C customers, which means if you're selling bulk petroleum valves to another company,
right,
it better be as easy as that person going on Amazon and buying a pair of shoes.
Right.
That's their expectation. If you're not meeting that, they might be looking for someone else.
Absolutely. Because somebody else is willing to do that. Somebody out there is willing to undercut you. You know, they're just always willing to do that. Now, there is like a, I don't think I brought the statistic over, but some statistic, I think it was like 7 out of 10 people were willing to pay a little bit more for good customer service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of people don't take into consideration, you know, most people aren't out there looking for the cheapest price because my time is worth money.
Yeah.
So I'm setting out to spend $10. My time, let's say, is worth $20. If I need to spend an hour to spend $10, I personally just spent $30 when I don't know if I'm explaining this very well. Are you getting the point that your time is worth money? And so if you can get this done faster, especially when working or getting stuff done, you know, even if you're a stay-at-home mom, which, oh, man, I wish I had the statistic here about any stay-at-home mom, is, I'm sure, has seen this about what their yearly take-home pay would be if they actually got paid for all the services that they provide to a family. Your time is worth money. Yeah. You know, you get more done. And so you need to provide this easy service or people will bounce. They are out. They are not dealing with that. And they're out. And then this one is really interesting as well. News of bad customer service reaches more than twice as many ears as praise for good service experience. I don't think any of us are shocked about that.
No.
It seems like we live in this world where people are just ready to complain.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we created this monster by creating this ease. You know, the internet has provided this ease and you know, a lot of people, especially older people, are like scared of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when the internet first came out, It wasn't easy to use, you know. Well, really, when it first came out, it was all IP addresses. In order to go to a website, you had to actually type in 197.288. You know, and then they came up with the domain names and stuff like that. So I'm trying to teach my mother-in-law how to find somebody on Facebook. And I'm just all right. Well, look around, and I'm just all. If you were going to try to find somebody, what would you click on here? And she's all. The magnifying glass? And I'm, well, that's right. You know, that's pretty much every website. You look for the magnifying glass. You're there. And then she gets to the profile, and she's all, okay, I want to be friends with this person. I'm all right, look around. What on here would make you want to be friends with this person? She's just all, the two little people with the plus sign? I'm just all, that's right. You know, so the internet has come a long way with ease of usability.
Yeah.
And really we've sort of shot ourselves in the foot with this because now people are expecting it to be easy. They are expecting you to deliver it to them on a silver platter and for them to pay as little as possible for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't like that and you're going off in there about voting this, that, and the other thing and about politics, well, shut up. Because this has nothing to do with that. This is the world of business that we live in, and if you want to make some money, you need to work with it.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, and I mean, as a business, you can go, I mean, look at your competitors, look at these websites that are doing great. I mean, Facebook is a great example. I don't even know how many hundreds of millions of people are on Facebook. It's a lot.
They're all on there.
Yeah, and so when you consider that, what you have is a standard that's been created. You can use those standards to reach your customers. So pay attention to those and integrate them.
Absolutely. You know, that's kind of like what we were talking about. You have to learn to utilize your vertical. And you know, once you're in there, you can sort of pick and choose the parts that you feel that are helping.
Mm-hmm.
And actually apply them to your own system.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. Come on back.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. I have a question for all of you who are concerned about the future of our country. Is it your desire that the youth of today be the future safeguard of our constitutional republic and our Christian heritage? Our youth and adults are being deceived into believing the big lie, and that is, there is no God, nor life after death. No wonder they have lost all hope. Only in having a true relationship with Jesus Christ can you know the truth that will make you free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you are trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide? Maybe I should buy some old tab collars. Welcome back to the Age of Jive.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show, the greatest show about business and marketing on the radio ever. I'm Chauncey, and he's Jake. And we are talking about the statistics of retaining your clients. If you're out there and you're a business owner and you're thinking, how does this pertain to me? Well, you won't be a business owner for very long. So our final thing up here is, it is 6 to 7 times more expensive to acquire a new customer than it is to keep a current one. So once you have them, so basically look at it like this. I'm a web guy, so I tend to think in terms of websites, but lead generation, what you're trying to do is you have a service, people have a need. So now I need to get these people's names, phone numbers, email addresses, and for them to contact me, to know about me, and to get in there so that I can make that purchase to them. So I need to invest in that lead. Mm-hmm. I need to chase it down. I need to put out some advertisement for that to happen. If they're already your customer, you know their name, their phone number, their email address, all of this stuff. And you also know when they need to come back. So let's say you're a pool cleaner. You know summer's coming up, and now is probably a good time. You know which one of your clientels have heated pools and maybe need pool cleaning on the regular throughout the year. You know these things. And you can base your marketing and your advertising to go after what you know. So retain your customers. Treat them well. Treat your customers well.
Yeah.
So, you know, before we're out here, there were a couple of things that I wanted to cover. We need to remind everybody that if you don't have an HTTPS or an SSL on your website, those are actually the same thing. I'm just trying to get the point across to those who don't know. You need to get that. You're going to start falling short in search. You're going to start getting warnings for people who go to your website that your site isn't secure. This is already going on, and it's about to get worse. So if you go to your website and you look up at your address, you know, where you go to mywebsite.com, and you see HTTP, but no HTTPS, you need to call your web guy, call somebody, call your GoDaddy. You need to make sure that you have that on there. And then the other thing that we want to remind folks about is Project Hometown. Project Hometown is a collective of like-minded folks. Basically, Jake, maybe you should explain this to us.
Sure, yeah. So what Project Hometown is an initiative to...
Initiative.
That's right. Yeah, that's what people are calling it.
Was there like a whole boardroom meeting to come up with initiative?
You'd be shocked to know how much time and energy went into that word alone. Initiative.
I was joking. I expected it just kind of came out of Tony's mouth and everybody said, okay.
Well, in a way, but there was a meeting anyhow.
All right.
Yeah, it's an initiative to basically boost the economic health of our local area, and we're going to do that by tearing down the barriers to entry to get your small business online. And we're going to do that helping high schoolers build you that website, and we're mentoring those high schools along the way with local technology companies. In fact, Thursday I had the opportunity to get a high schooler to Pacific Sky, who's another technology company in town, and we basically made the introduction. Here's the high schooler that's going to be building the website. Here's the business whose website you're going to be building. And Pacific Sky, you're going to be mentoring this teenager along as he's doing this for this company. Great, inexpensive website for the company. Great work experience for the high schooler. Technology company gets to, you know, enjoy helping both of those people.
Yeah. So for those of you out there, you're not just putting your business in the hands of somebody learning out of high school. You're putting your business in the hands of this mentor who's helping.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and you can go to projecthometown.com and find more information and how to sign up if you're a small business owner or a high schooler. Go to cloudwiseacademy.com.
Sounds good. And, you know, this is a good time to sort of explain to people that you need to keep up technologically. And that's really kind of the goal here with Project Hometown, is that Reading needs to keep up technologically on a business level.
Mm-hmm.
On a consumer level, we are keeping up technologically just fine because consumers run.
Yep.
They run at products. But a business moves slower, and the larger your business, the slower it moves until you get all the way up to the government, which basically moves at a glacial pace. You know, but this is really the case. So basically, the more your business grows, the more you need to be aware that you are moving slower than consumers, because basically people create technology and consumers run to it. And you are the last one to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we got a few minutes here. So I kind of wanted to cover something that my wife, told me about. I was sitting there the other day brainstorming topics to discuss on here, and she's just all, oh, what do you got? I'll tell you something that irritates me about the internet. So e-commerce, she has two things that really upset her for shopping on e-commerce. So hopefully a lot of you out there have e-commerce. That's really what a lot of this is based around, because regardless of what kind of business you have, you can get e-commerce online. Let's say I'm selling pest control services. You know, people can sign up. They can pay online. You can save some money. You can save some time, and you can let them buy the way that they want to buy. So my wife when it comes to e-commerce, does not like a flashy site. Basically, you should let the pictures do the talking and not have all this flashiness. You know, I'm sure there's a whole conversation there about calls to action on e-commerce sites versus service sites. Because on a service site, you really kind of want some flashy calls to action because there's really one thing that you're trying to sell. But on an e-commerce site, people are window shopping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to get in there and they want to look around and they want to see what they're actually going to buy. They don't necessarily want to see the world's coolest, trendiest website. That doesn't mean don't make your homepage fun, but when it comes to browsing products, you know.
Yeah, and you know, if you are starting an e-commerce site and want to need a good starting point, whether or not you're using Shopify doesn't matter, but Shopify has a huge, with a lot of information, a lot of statistics, and surveys that they've taken over the years. So check out the blog at Shopify.com. They might be able to steer you in a good direction as far as what's working, what's not for making your customers happy.
Right, because it's basically an e-commerce blog, not solely a using Shopify blog.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, and then the other thing that she told me happens to her that this is like, I was kind of blown away by this. At some websites, she'll be there shopping and she'll put two things in her shopping cart and 5 minutes will go by as she's browsing around and then they'll pop something up basically saying, purchase these now or let somebody else do it. Like basically saying, we're going to empty your shopping cart if you're not going to buy these things. So, you know, my suggestion is don't threaten your clientele. You know, that's, when she told me that, I'm just all, that is insane.
Yeah, that's kind of an old sales technique, right?
Yeah.
The whole buy now, it's your time is limited.
Right, yeah.
Trying to get people to pull the trigger right away.
But that's not going to work in this day and age where people know they can go to 1,000 places.
Yeah, someone else has it, for sure.
All right, you've been listening to The Being Found Show. I'm Chauncey, he's Jake, and we have been trying to help your business succeed and be found. Because you must remember, if you're not being found for your service online, well, then who is? Thanks for checking us out.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The current running tally on that referendum in Ireland appears to show about twice as many people favor repealing the country's restrictive abortion law than favor keeping it. Ian Bennett campaigned for no on the referendum. He likes the law.
I think it's a sad day for this country, personally. In the long term, I think it'll be a decision that'll be regretted long term, long after the political establishment will have disappeared and gone on to greater things, if you like.
Abortion supporter Catherine Bradley says she's happy Ireland voted yes.
It's amazing. I'm still a little bit in shock. I was confident that we were going to get a yes vote, but I didn't think it would be by this much.
Nearly all of the voting regions counted thus far have backed repeal of the 1983 amendment and making Parliament responsible now for enacting abortion laws. The leaders of North and South Korea have held a second surprise summit. Here's correspondent Ben Thomas with a few details.
It's the second meeting in a month between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and South Korean President Moon Jae-in at the border village of Panmunjom. Moon's office says the two leaders discussed the peace commitments they agreed to at that first summit a month ago and Kim's potential summit with President Trump next month. Trump abruptly called off that meeting this week, citing North Korea's tremendous anger and open hostility, only to soften his stance a day later, tweeting, "We're having very productive talks with North Korea about reinstating the summit."
That's Ben Thomas reporting. Officials in Hawaii County say the number of structures lava has destroyed on the Big Island is now 82. Things could get worse over the weekend.
Looking ahead through the weekend, there's probably going to be a slacking of the trade winds.
Meaning that some of the dangerous and toxic fumes emitting from the volcano will not be blown away. Therefore, the air could be even more dangerous. More on these stories from townhall.com.
How much do you spend on your pest control each year? $200, $300, or even $500 or more? What if I said you could spend less than $25 a year, even less with promo code SAVE20? Then listen up. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug In Pest Free, and yes, it is possible to rid your home or business of unwanted pests for less than $25 per year. The answer is Plug In Pest Free. Our best seller, the Plug In Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. For just a one-time cost of only $249, even less with promo code SAVE20, you'll be pest-free for years to come. Log on to gopestfree.com today. Use promo code SAVE20 and start driving those pests away. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com. That's gopestfree.com. Promo code SAVE20.
A bill that would have imposed price controls on some California medical procedures has come up short.
The proposal would create government price controls in California for surgeries, hospital stays, doctor's visits, and other health care services. However, it failed to clear a key committee Friday, and the author says he plans to bring the long-shot measure back next year. The bill drew national attention from health care policy observers when it was introduced. Hospitals, doctors, and other influential health care providers lobbied intensely against it, saying it would lead to longer waits for medical care.
Correspondent Ron DeRockstra reporting. Many parts of the West are dealing with drought conditions, and the state of Arizona appears to be hit the hardest. No other state has more state and federal land closed now to recreation, all because of the possibility of wildfire dangers. The partial closures in some of Arizona's national forests represent a damper on things like camping, hiking, fishing, and mountain biking. More from townhall.com. Kensington Palace has now given the details of the newly created coat of arms for the former Meghan Markle.
The coat of arms for the Duchess of Sussex, as she is now formally known, includes symbols that invoke the former actress's background and look to her future. It features a blue background that represents the Pacific Ocean and golden rays of sunshine reminiscent of California, her home state. The shield includes three quills representing the power of words, a nod to her former website, which was used as a forum to discuss social issues.
Correspondent Sarah Shacklin. Harvey Weinstein arrived on Friday at a New York City courthouse in handcuffs. Police say the movie mogul was arrested on charges of rape, criminal sex acts, sex abuse, and sexual misconduct charges for encounters with two women before he was eventually released. Weinstein has consistently denied any allegations of non-consensual sex. More from townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
And welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your favorite show about the paranormal. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean.
Hello.
Tonight we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do Thunderdome.
Thunderdome.
Two men enter, one man leave. Sean and I are going to fight it out on the radio so you can hear it.
So, I mean, a little warning would have been nice. That would have brought, you know, some power tools, some armor.
They'll be hanging from the ceiling.
Okay, good. Good, good. This is a small booth. Like, I don't know if you've, I don't know, maybe you factored that in.
I figure even with the elastic lederhosen or whatever it is they were rocking in that movie, I could probably at best get about a foot off the ground. So, this room is just fine.
Fair enough.
So, how's your week been, Sean?
Pretty good. You know, it's weird. I think doing this show has been eroding, like, my natural skepticism a little. And, right. You know, when we started, I would kind of joke to my friends and stuff that it was nice to do a show like this so that I wasn't the craziest person in the room, because I would be out-crazied by our guests. But I feel like with every guest we have, a little bit of their crazy, like, flakes off and enters my system. And
so it doesn't seem so crazy after all.
Exactly. Well, I was just having a conversation with a friend earlier, and they, you know, they mentioned something about Roswell, and like they were being tongue-in-cheek about it, and I was like, right. Oh, yeah, I know all about that, and I was just right. Telling them some stuff, and I was like, oh, you know, there was wreckage they never found, and I was like, oh, dear God, what have I become?
That's so, the end of your social life.
Yeah, I just had that realization the other day, like, oh, my God.
Needless to say, this was at work, and you've now been fired from your day job.
Yes, so I'm already foraging and cooking raccoons for my sustenance.
My flavorful apocalypse is coming on pretty well. I've already made pesto out of my garden and
nice.
Mint rice.
Mint rice, okay. Yeah, so you're set.
I am set, yeah.
You've got all the pesto you need to survive any number of
basically, now
disasters.
If I can just learn how to, you know, kill an animal in the wild, I can flavor it and we can eat it. We're
right.
Good. You know, that's not really hugely different than the diet that I'm rocking at home already.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like
right.
A lot of peppers, a lot of spices, a lot of meat.
Yeah, well, frankly, animals are fast.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're worried about the Thunderdome concept, I would be much easier to kill than, like, a deer.
Well, yeah. So all I need is a lot of spices, some peppers, and Sean's corpse.
There's only one of me.
Yeah, well. Others like you.
Oh, God. Yeah, so maybe start your whole thing a few weeks before the apocalypse actually starts so you can get a jump on it.
I did take one of those tests online. You know, for you guys listening, next week we have a zombie survivalist on.
And I'm so excited.
And that's one reason why we're definitely talking about this is that. But I took a test online and it said I'd survive like 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know. How does it, is it like exponential? Does it go on like a scale from a couple minutes to like, you know, weeks or years if you answer the right way?
I don't know. I think that means that as soon as my neighbors found out about it, they'd come over and kill me.
Right.
It'd take them like 5 minutes to, you know, get out there.
That guy's got pesto.
Right.
This cannot stand.
And it normally takes 2 or 3 minutes for me to answer the door. So, you know.
You know, in that situation, I don't know if they just ring the doorbell and wait.
I think if they caught it right at the beginning, yeah, sure.
Yeah, they might, okay.
Yeah. There's your horror movie. You know, that's pretty good.
This summer, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah. There's actually a great apocalyptic horror movie. It's a nuclear war one called Miracle Mile.
Mm.
Have you ever seen this?
No.
Basically, this guy goes to meet this girl that he really likes, and his alarm messes up, and he ends up at the diner at like 3 in the morning. And the payphone rings, and he answers it, and it's some guy thinking that he's calling his dad, telling him that all the missiles have been fired, and that we got 2 hours until we all die. And then he hears a bunch of gunshots as the guy gets killed. And then it takes it from there, basically, that he's the one
guy
who
knows
the world's going
to
end.
I'll have to see this.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Really good. So tonight we are revisiting a topic that...
Yeah,
you know,
that's kind of been looming on the horizon for a lot of us.
Well, it has, and there are a lot of different takes on this topic. The topic that we're going to discuss tonight is Nibiru.
So looming on the horizon was a joke.
Might be looming on the horizon.
Right, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had to call attention to that.
I didn't see what you did there.
Thank you. Now you do. We may continue.
So there's a lot of different takes on this topic. You know, the two, like, there's two, like, structural takes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is Nibiru a planet?
Sure.
Or is it a star? Or is it one planet in a solar system?
Right.
You know, and there are a lot of takes out there, and there are a lot of people who are going to, you know, different views. Well, I mean, wasn't David Mead?
Yes, David Mead was a Nibiru guy, one of many. I don't think he and Samuel Hoffman would probably see eye to eye on
those
things.
Oh, no, definitely not. I don't think they would at all.
But that just goes to what you were saying.
There are a lot of different interpretations. Right.
Yeah.
So tonight's guest is Samuel Hoffman. You are listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for the interview.
I want to know. average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
I want to thank our first responders in Shasta and Tehama County. The lives you save and the property you protect help us enjoy our wonderful Northern California outdoors. This is Jeff Avery, State Farm Insurance Agent, and I want to thank you again for all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
The world's largest dinosaurs are coming to Turtle Bay Exploration Park May 5th through September 9th. You can explore the amazing biology of supersized dinos in this epic new exhibition, great for all ages. The world's largest dinosaurs is organized by the American Museum of Natural History and presented by Dennis and Cheryl Bambauer, with major support from U.S. Bank and Shasta Regional Medical Center. The world's largest dinosaurs is included with park admission and always free for members. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
With the changing of seasons here in Northern California, it may be time for a change for you and your family. And Palomar Builders, your ultimate home, invites you to see Salt Creek Heights. Salt Creek Heights is located on the west side of Reading along Eureka Way, just minutes from the heart of downtown Reading. The new luxury homes from Palomar Builders are truly that. And prices start at just $4,038. Salt Creek Heights is 273 acres of land that supports residential units to a variety of single-family home sites. When you walk into a home in Salt Creek Heights, you'll see the exceptional quality and beauty that Palomar Builders builds into every home. Many lots have mountain and open space views, and all homes come with an entry-level solar system. As they say, seeing is believing. Make plans to see the model home. For more information, contact Tom Papik of Coldwell Banker CMC Properties at 941-9534. To find Salt Creek Heights, take Eureka Way to 299 West and North on Buenaventura Boulevard. Palomar Builders, building your memories.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're welcoming back a guest that we've had on before, Samuel Hoffman, to talk about Nibiru. Samuel, are you there with us?
I sure am. How are you today?
Not bad. How have you been?
Oh, all right. It's been a little stormy and, you know, nice and rainy up here in Montana. We've had a little bit of local flooding.
Well,
more rain and snow than we're used to.
It's definitely something we wish we had more of down here.
Yeah.
Well, the alternative can be quite a bad thing, too. You know, I mean, look all over what's going on all over Europe and Asia. And,
oh, yeah, and Southern California after those fires, you know, then
yeah,
we get all that rain.
Et cetera. Yeah,
absolutely.
Fires down there.
For our new listeners, maybe we can remind them a little bit about who you are and what you do. So how did you, and we'll skim through it last time, this was kind of our whole show, but how did you get started with Nibiru and trying to figure out what was going on there?
Well, when I was 17 years old in a private college prep high school, I wrote a chemistry term paper, and I basically, as kind of a joke, took on Einstein's equations and things like this, and from my understanding of subatomic chemistry and everything, I didn't agree with the gravity well and all this sort of stuff, and it always bugged me, according to what I understood with shell structure and weight value and atomic weight value and everything. So I wrote this paper saying, because I had read Velikovsky's book had come out in the 70s, and this was about 75, 76, 77, 78 that I was, you know, checking into all this stuff. And I wrote this paper saying that I believe because of this variation at the orbit way out in it by Neptune and all, there's these variations in orbits. They were talking about Planet X, and this was common knowledge back in the mid-70s. So I wrote this paper stating that I believed there had to be another attached solar system because the atomic weight value just didn't match according to my estimations of the planet weight value and the fact that Jupiter and Saturn are these massive, larger planets, and they're way, way out, and that didn't agree with subatomic chemistry in my mind. So I wrote the paper saying that we had to have two suns and two sets of multiple groups of planets, and I laid out my paper and turned it in, and it basically ended up getting the notice of the government a short period of time later, and where I was offered a job, and then I went there, and it was for the Farseeing Project, and folks can look that up. That's where you remote view and things like this, and they were recruiting people with high chemistry and physics skills and high IQs, et cetera. That's the short of that. And then many years later, in 2009-ish, early 10, I saw a planetary pass, and I knew that they had to be here because we had been waiting for them, and the discussion was back in the 70s that it was going to be 50 years till it got here, et cetera. And that, of course, was, you know, the 60s and 50s talking with the extension of the way science gets around. And anyway, long story short, I ended up, once I saw first planetary pass up here in Montana at 5,000 feet, I started being on Facebook and telling everybody because my non-disclosure agreement ended in 2010. And so I started speaking right about that, telling everybody that, you know, the planetary system was in fact here because I had seen it by eye. Otherwise, I would have never, you know, believed half of the stuff that's on the Internet currently. And there's so much misinformation you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, so to help our listeners get a concept of what we're talking about, basically, and this part right here is mainstream science, that most stars in our galaxy are actually binary stars. So they're two stars that orbit one another. And so,
right, 83.3% on average, yes.
Right, and so what you're saying is that our star, Sol, is a binary star, and there is another star that orbits with our star with its own solar system.
Correct, and every 3,654 years they join, probably from a magnetic static upload, like a capacitor that loads and unloads, et cetera, and they attract to each other and then separate. Everything works in an opening and closing all the way down to string theory and everything. Everything has an ebb and flow and ebb and flow. It's sort of like the solar system breathes. Everything breathes. Everything is connected to each other electrically. Now, Einstein and Newton believe that we are a gravitational solar system, and we're not. We're an electrical solar system, and then gravitational properties fall in play therein. But there's an overall larger thing at work here, a larger thing at play, than common science understands still to this day.
And so I guess the questions that arise from this are, if it's a solar system, how many planets are we talking? And how close to our solar system is it getting, you know?
They have been, well, let's start out with, there's eight major known planets, and then there's a number of smaller orbiting bodies, asteroids and moons and everything. And if you were to take into account the actual overall count, there's many, many other bodies that are not even being listed here because they're also part of a larger solar system because this is an immense, immense chemistry equation. And then we have to take into account Hercubus, which is the electron cluster gas giant behind the two suns, which is so massive it fills up half the solar system. Now, literally, this July, up July 15th or so, all the planets are in our normal planets in our solar system are going to be on one side of the solar system. And then literally the other half of the solar system is empty according to what they're showing on these model diagrams. But in all actuality, it's all the other planets absorbing the occupied area in a suppressed orbit. And that's why Venus is so bright for the last 10 years is because we can see it because it's closer than it actually used to be. And everybody just automatically assumes that they're where they always are. And no, they're not. Everything is changing. The rules have changed. Atomic decay has changed. Electrical particles, motion has changed. Anyway, the planets have been here literally since the onset of 2010 where the two solar systems started joining. Now, it's our smaller solar system that I believe entered the larger solar system, but, I mean, it's probably a simultaneous thing. And they're commingling, and they came up from underneath Earth, and then have slowly, and we were getting pictures early on in most of our sightings at Montana Skywatchers on Facebook from the Antarctica, from Neumayer Station and everything else for years. And nobody even questioned why all of a sudden it was lit in Antarctica when it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be completely, absolutely dark, and for like 5 years it was daylight. It shouldn't have been. And this is when we got most of our sightings. And now, most people didn't believe the sightings because everyone was looking for these tiny little dots. And in actuality, they were coming on close passes where we'd have entire, you know, side-seeing crescent illuminations where you're like holding a basketball in front of your hand all the way to sky pillars. And most people don't see them currently because they're looking for small little tiny dots of this color or that color. And when they get in proximity to us and fill the sky, they're all, of course, mostly blue because we see everything through the blue water spectrum through our atmosphere. But when the planets get close, they turn a much varied color from the what they look like out in space. Now, most of the time, they are between us and the sun, and we can't see them because we're seeing the dark sides of these planets. But they have been here roughly since 2011, 2012, have passed in four different cycles where we've had close numerous passes year after year. And currently we have Nepesity and Attu and Attu's white moon extremely close to Earth right now. And a lot of people are seeing these sightings, and they're getting the green skies and these massive green storms and then these purple lightning storms, and then there's this big white thing, and there's asteroids passing close by that are horrendously huge, and they're daily. And NASA, of course, is just telling everybody it's this, that, or the other thing, and it's going by once. And that's not what's going on. There's a lot of real close proximity planets that are right here, and they're making daily planets. Now, they don't crash into each other. Because we live in an electrical universe, these are like protons, and they electrically push each other away. It's only the negative, smaller bodies at a different hardcore angle that can actually strike into Earth, such as an asteroid or comet, depending on, you know, the charge value.
But they are tied to their star somehow.
Objects will push each other away from each other like two separate magnets.
But they are tied to their star somehow.
Right, and they're tied in their spiral rotation. It's sort of like, because we don't orbit, we follow the star like it's the magnet, and we're a bunch of pieces that look like steel cans or whatever you want to call it that follow in a tail behind it, and we spiral through space sideways. We don't look at it on the plane where like they lay it out on a dinner plate and all the planets are on the same ecliptic plane. No, that's not how it works. They all rotate in spiral plane catch up, like when you pull a sock out of the dryer, you get static cling and you get other socks that come along with it. And that's how the main star pulls all of us, because we're electrically connected to this major compound in space. We're not just rocks floating willy-nilly in space. We're an actual chemistry equation that is set in a level of stability. It's been existing for 4.8 some odd billion years that we know of the Earth's formation alone. And beyond that, I'm sure there's some semblance of a prior event that formed that compound, which this binary solar system is.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our first commercial break. I think we did a pretty good job of doing our rundown there. Thank you, Samuel. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what's new since we talked last time. And maybe you can enlighten us to the new situation with Nibiru and its solar system here on Radio Wasteland with Samuel Hoffman.
Believe. Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Redding tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and, of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton-Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon. In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Save the date for Friday, June 15th, as Wind River Resort and Casino and Bella Vista Farms host Redding's 6th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Bacon and Brew fans unite and taste an array of bacon-inspired appetizers, entrees, and desserts provided by restaurants from around the area. What would bacon be without a cold one? Sample a variety of specialty microbrews from area breweries. You are the judges at this savory event as vendors compete for $500 cash. Bring your appetite and be ready to quench your thirst at Redding's 6th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Plus, the Stone Hearts Band will be performing live, so you can boot, scoot, and boogie while satisfying your hunger and tossing back a cold one. Tickets $20 per person, tastings included with purchase. Save the date for Friday, June 15th, for the 6th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest from 6 to 9 p.m. 50% of the proceeds will go to Bella Vista Farms, a local nonprofit. For details, contact group sales at 530-339-7412. Download the Wind River app. Bacon and Brew is better at the river.
Shasta College is giving you your first year of college tuition free. If you're a first-time student at Shasta College, even if you've attended college somewhere else or took classes while in high school and you sign up as a full-time student, you could get a year of college tuition free. The Shasta Promise program gives any first-time, full-time student a tuition-free education for a full year. Apply online at shastacollege.edu/apply. Fill out your FAFSA and talk to a counselor today. Don't think you can go full-time with your work or family schedule? Shasta College has more programs just for you. We have compressed programs, evening classes, and completely online degrees to help you get that boost in your career, new job, or transfer earlier with less debt. The Shasta Promise. Just one more way Shasta College is giving you more. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650 for the Shasta Promise program.
All right, welcome back to Raiding Wasteland, and our guest Samuel Hoffman. We're talking about Nibiru, not the planet, not the star, but the solar system that runs in conjunction with our own, some sort of chemistry entanglement. So, you know, Samuel, what is different now than when we talked last? What do we know now that we didn't know last time?
Well, we're headed back closer toward Nibiru, and I truly believe that any day now, mid-June-ish July, we should be literally right next to her, because we've been following in the opposite direction underneath the rest of them, and Uri has passed by, and Attu has come in at the turn of the year. Now, last time we did a show was literally a year ago to almost this week. And Attu and Attu's moon have come in so close that Attu's moon has actually come within a really great close distance, you know, maybe one or two or three LUs within ours. And it's so big, but it, we call it a moon because we've seen it close up, and it's got many numerous craters, and it's therefore it's most likely a dead body, or a negative charged neutron. And it has seriously affected our tides, and we've seen these drawn-out tides where all of a sudden the fishermen are staring at a mile away where they've never, ever seen it before in their lives. And that started in January and February and March. And then as of April, it started on the other side of the planet, moreover, in close passes because they run in cycles. And they were having this excruciating extreme weather and lightning and massive flooding. And they received that recently in the desert region in Jerusalem and everything. They had mass flash flooding and everything else, and they've never ever seen this, of course, and amounts of rain that no one has ever recorded before, and that's because it has to do with atmospheric close pass by dragging up our atmosphere and collecting it up and pulling it up, and then when it pulls away from us, it drops everything that it's acquired through a thread attachment because they pull at each other, and there is a certain amount of ion transfer between these large bodies, and that's where we see the space clouds and all this other stuff. And then even suspicious observer discusses space clouds and space water and all of this. And this is an interaction electrically between the planets, and they discharge off each other. We've seen lots of that within the last even week on the East Coast, flooding and everything that everybody's been suffering over there. And they've had these, what the science is now calling the shelf cloud, which is an invention since the planets have gotten here. And those are the base clouds of these planets where they buffer in. Their atmosphere pushes against our atmosphere, and they have this thread attachment between them, and they cause these extreme storms. And now in Texas, all the way up through the East Coast, they've been, and New York City went dark the other day as this planet crossed over the top of everybody. And, of course, you know, no one understands it because it's so massive. They think it's just a storm, but we've got side pictures. And that's what Montana Skywatcher does is we, number two and number one, we get comparative pictures from around the world. And when you see one event in Hong Kong and you see it in England at the same time, well, then it's not a cloud. It's an actual body passing through. And we have, over the last 8 years, learned what the base clouds all look like, and they have individual type behaviors for each planet. And they have different color variations, and we've matched all these sightings and collected up hundreds of thousands of actual sightings. And the problem is that no one's really getting this in the mainstream media because it's all being covered up. Facebook and everybody is all trying this, you know, what they call junk news or fake news program now to shut people like myself and the other Nibiru group, sky watchers and researchers, whatever you want to call them, citizen scientists, have all been stifled because a lot of people are still laughing at us. And yet we've got credible, absolute, time-proven science showing all of these planets up close and on the way in and then over the top of us and then back out over the last 8 years. So, but what's recently happening is Nepesity is coming in. She's a rain bomb, just like last year they got Canada. And there's also been some new sightings of the Texas Cube. And if you folks out there don't know what the Texas Cube is, go to YouTube, look up Texas Cube. And then the Empire Orb, which is another space station that came in through the Norway Spiral back in 2009. There are bodies and beings and other space creatures that are involved with this solar system. We are not alone, totally not alone. There's thousands and thousands of races nearby, and people have to really get on board with this because this is time-proven information, and we're not guessing, and we're not making this up, and you know, and we're not collecting a bunch of subscription fees to hype stuff out. But in the last 3 weeks, there's been so many sightings of so many ships, they're not hiding anymore. And if you look up in the sky and you see a very large square cloud, it's the Texas Cube. And we have had hundreds of sightings within the last week, week and a half. It's been unbelievable.
What is the purpose of covering up?
Well, there's a lot of people. I'm sure you've run into a different variations of people through your radio work where certain people can handle it. Certain people get mad at you. Certain people get crazy and very scared. Certain religious people go and crawl into their Bible even worse and then start accusations and the demons and this and that. And the other thing, I mean, there's a lot of nice Christian religious folks out there, but then there's There are people that get scared and very superstitious. And then there's the people that would quit their jobs and they would go up and head up the mountains and we'd have chaos. And so maybe that's why they don't do it.
So do you think our government knows and is aware?
Oh, I'm totally sure they do. They entered a deal with the alien races and all the way back in Ike's administration back in 47. And I know I was told all sorts of information when I was with the government. I was not allowed to discuss it back until after my 30-year non-disclosure agreement. And we entered into a terrible, terrible bargain with the alien races for technology. And they're fully in cahoots to each other. Now, the treaty was broken for some period of time, but then right prior to the planets coming back again, they, I'm sure, negotiated for better treaty output, and this is where a lot of the commodities are now being picked up prior to the changes of the coming tectonic plates. And as you know, that Hawaii is bubbling all over, and our weather's not like it's supposed to be anymore, and we haven't seen true north in about 5 years, and the sun's coming up in a funny place, and all the stars have changed, and then all these undeniable facts. And if you look straight up in the sky and you see this dark, dark purple thing over the top of you where the rest of the sky is light blue, you can't argue with it. But we've proven this empirically that these planets are here and they're doing close passes to Earth. And we're coming up on the culmination of our fourth or fifth cycle now, and there's some pretty crazy stuff happening. And we don't even know how long they're going to be here for. I mean, they could be doing this to our Earth over and over for the next 100 years. I don't know. We don't know how long they're together. And the tectonic plates are moving, and Yellowstone is rumbling, and Hawaii is going off, and there's brand new volcanoes every day, everywhere. Popocatépetl, whatever how you pronounce that, is booming again. She's burping steam again. And the close planetary passes of Vatu's moon have been affecting our tides and our rivers. Waters are disappearing. The Mississippi was dry for a good portion of middle of last year. And nobody knew why the middle of the Mississippi was empty. It's because the water effects and everything are being pulled. And there's cracks in the ground forming everywhere and sinkholes. And it's the tug of these planets on each other. You get cracks, and all of a sudden your water disappears down those cracks. And it sinks into stuff. And everything's breaking up. And we have the Yakima crack and the Mexico crack. And now there's cracks in South Carolina, North Carolina happening. All sorts of stuff happening.
So, we only got about 3 minutes till the commercial break, but let's start this topic at least. And that is, is there's life on some of these planets?
Correct.
And
we are basically the backwater factory that produces commodities for this larger, older civilizations, plural. And they basically don't want us to know that we are doing what we're doing, and we're short-lived versions of them.
So we're like the sweatshop of the solar system.
Yeah, you've seen Star Wars. You know about the Clone Wars. Well,
yeah.
We're basically people that they don't deal well with coming down on our gravitational. There's that word I hate to use on our planet, and they don't deal well doing the work. So they have bio tools, which is what we are. We're self-replicating bio tools.
But they look like us.
Every time they come back and pick up the supplies and the commodities that are laid out for them ahead of time by this faction or that faction trying to gain favor, then they pick up what they want, and then we get wiped out up to a point, the culling of the herd, which is part of the process because Earth has to break up to reform the new sets of minerals and gold and oil and all of this by tectonic breakup and transfer of energy to recreate all of the chemistry. And then in 4,000 years, they come back and pick it all up again.
All right. Well, you're listening to...
Time after time after time after time.
All right. We're coming up on our commercial break. You're listening to Samuel Hoppen here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Mark out the points. Build the fire. Assemble different drummers. Light up the fire. Put on your masks and animal skins. Illumination, illumination. Listen to the drums. Between each beat of the drum.
beloved mother.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
Hey, this is Kenny Breedlove at Market Street Steakhouse. On behalf of Wes and I want to personally thank all the first responders, including fire, police, and medical. All of us at Market Street Steakhouse appreciate all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SSD Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services Monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, 530-241-1167.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Redding or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Samuel Hoffman. We're talking about Nibiru. So we were talking before that they're actually life on those planets, and right. And you're basically saying that they look just like us. So,
well,
and,
I haven't actually met them, but I have met three of the other races that are out running around. And from what I'm told, that we very much, you know, we're the combination of like 12 different races mixed into the local monkey, and then over time we've been generated up to what we are. Now, I don't believe that we're the first civilization to achieve this level. I think there's been numerous ones, including prior to Atlantis. And you know, there's a lot of room between 65 million years ago when the dinosaurs supposedly vanished off this planet. And that's a lot of time for a lot of cycles. And if you take out your calculator and you know, divide 4,000 by 65 million, there's a lot of cycles in between there. Where the planets, of course, will affect each other, and you know, pole shift and ice age and this and that and the other thing.
Right. And who's all, to say, you know, we're their first attempt?
To, yeah.
Who's to say we're their first attempt?
Right. Yeah, we're not. You know, I'm sure that we were. You know, numerous. And then, of course, you go back into the discussion of the giants in the Bible, and that was 35,000 years ago, and that boils down to where they've even discovered certain radioactive regions that have seemed to have been nuked way off in the distant past, and that actually meets about that same timeline. And then you go back to the Sumerians 4,000 years ago at the last cycle, and how their climate changed, and suddenly they were no longer able to support their life the way they did. And if you go back two cycles, and then to the Chinese, they talk about the dragon, and that's those asteroids that are coming across now that they're passing daily, and we call it the object cluster group. And now, you know, if you want some of that information, you can go to YouTube and look up Sam Hoffman, H-O-F-M-A-N, one F instead of two, on YouTube, and I've got a whole bunch of about a year and a half's worth of background information that you might be able to glean some stuff off of, or come to Montana Skywatcher Facebook site too. And then we can fill you in on more of that. But and I'm kind of losing my train of thought here. But, yeah, there's a society up there, and their tech level is so much more advanced than ours. There's no way that we can argue with the fact of ownership. I mean, they've owned us. They will own us. And, you know, we're these little mice down here going, squeak, squeak, be nice to me. Can I have some cheese, please?
But what do we do about it?
Well, we are supposed to grow out of it, and there is a notion, a mandate to the demigods, as we will refer to them as, that we are supposed to up and evolve out, because we are sentient beings, and that wasn't planned as far as I've been led to understand. So some of us who will gain the notice of the demigods will be allowed to ascend out, and we have to work on that by getting rid of the anger and the hatred and work more on love and stuff like that, because when you're in the presence of an alien, it's very uncomfortable for them to be around somebody. It's like drunk cousin Earl drops by at midnight at your house and wants to party. They don't want to tolerate us, period. And we have to be tolerable before they're going to invite us into their living area. And for because we're just fine right where we're at, you know, unless we earn it. But there is a mandate for some of us to be able to evolve out.
So the gods or
to do.
The gods or the aliens that are most commonly associated with Nibiru are the Anunnaki, and
right.
Their
and that,
story.
Of course, is a human term, and that could be any new number of factions.
So does that story fit this narrative?
It fits. That's the reason that we started searching all this stuff out, because there were so many conclusive clues that led you to. The names of the planets all matched, and then we watched them come in one after another, and everything fit. And this was, time proven for a while there. For the first 2 years, we called it the purple planet or the white striped planet or the dark blue, which we assumed was Nibiru, because Nibiru is not a red planet. The red major red planet is the red gas giant Hercubus, which is the central electron cluster that holds the two stars. It's a massive, massive body. It's a gas giant, and it holds both the stars together in the binary, which is what makes us a compound. We're just this multiple spinning thing, just like an atom in most atom models. But the civilization there has been in existence for a very long time. They use a good deal of gold and some of our other commodities in their technology, and their technology is vast. And I've got to see a little bit of it, and I still don't completely comprehend a lot of it, but I understand some of the theories behind it.
Okay, I'm concerned. I just have to ask, where, again, are we in the timeline before we wind up getting cold, so to speak? Do we know
I don't
that?
Know if they're going to tell people. If, you know,
right.
I don't foresee a government group saying, oh, you, by the way.
Well, if the last time was 4,000 years ago, and it happens every 4,000 years, that's just,
3,600.
Yeah.
If you look back, that's the end of the Mycenaean period, beginning of the Bronze Age. It literally is going to be where the people themselves start seeing these bodies in the sky so heavily. And we've been doing that for many years, and we've been trying to pass it on. And there's another good one. I have a video. It's called Understanding the Skies by Samuel Hoffman, Edition 1, and that is on YouTube also. And that will teach you how to see the base clouds of these planets. And they're so big, you're not looking for the little stuff. And it's these sky fillers when they do a close pass. And on my site, on the YouTube site, there's other videos that will teach you how to see the planets. But all you got to do is basically look up and look for the dark bodies and the shadowing and the cutoffs of the sun. We're usually seeing the dark sides back of them, and you see all these weird cutoffs on the sun, and there's a piece missing, and there's this reddish flare and weird-looking stuff. And that's a planet cutting off the light. And we've had a lot of cloudy, gray days and real weird weather stuff where everything looks really milky and funny, and that's because there's a planet cutting off the overall light.
Is there going to come a point where, for every person on the planet, it is just undeniable what we're looking at?
That depends on if we get a full pass where they actually leave and we can see the facial illumination as they go by. And we've seen a lot of that, but each one of these planets also has an atmosphere as well. And a lot of the time, they're wrapped up in a lot of clouds. And only because we've had so many reports over the years did we learn what these cloud bases look like. And that, of course, is also taught on my YouTube thing on, I think it's July 15th of last year.
Yeah, I've watched quite a few of the videos. They're definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, and it's not something you can teach overnight, but you have to think sky filler because they're there, they're huge, they're dark, and you look and they're right over here at the horizon, it's light blue, but you look straight up and it's so dark and weird and puffy and everything. And half the times, if you sit out there long enough, you can see land masses. They come by that close. We've got pictures of land masses. We've got pictures of grid failures where they were attempting to hide it using some sort of invisible, God only knows what, in the first few years. There's so much happened over the years, it's almost impossible to tell everybody everything that's been going on because we've got 8 years of sighting, and this has been every day. And everybody, not everybody, a darn good huge portion of my 10,000 members on my two sites alone, I do other sites as well, but a good portion of these people absolutely see these planets. And they've all been taught how to continue to see them every day.
Well, that's a good point for us here. We're coming up on the end of the interview here, but I want to give you a chance to tell our audience where they can find out more about you and join your groups.
Okay, well, it's Facebook, Montana Sky Watcher, 1 and 2. 2 is the open site, and when people turn out to be great reporters, I'll usually hook them up with 1, and or my YouTube page, Samuel Hoffman or Sam Hoffman, Hoffman, and there's plenty of my videos out there where you can grab onto something and connect to me. And once you, I just about let everybody in on the Facebook site, and we have limitations where we limit to current information and pictures from your area, and we try not to do unproven materials. We try to stick to scientific fact with multiple reporting sites before we call. I mean, we get like 4 or 5 sightings before we call that this is what's happening. Oh, yes, this new planet is here and it's doing this. And we get multiple sightings from around the world, from Hong Kong, Malaysia, Australia, South Africa, America, of course, Great Britain, France, Canada. I've got friends in Sweden, Germany. So we get sightings and reports every day, and it's the best place. And we weeded through the bull. We're not falling into the media gossip because we don't need it, because we've done enough sightings that we know what's going on. And there isn't anybody out there, and I'd love to find someone who knows more about this than I do because I'd like to learn more. But we've not found anyone that has better information than Montana Sky Watcher.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show again. I really enjoy having you on. We'll have to do it again.
Wonderful. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. And I'm doing this to get the word out because this is proven. This is happening.
All right. You've been listening to Samuel Hoffman here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.